Antonio.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon. Here, anyway.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakaw. We have a lot of material to cover today.
Going to mute.
Anna Bakaw. Gedulat Yemincha Tatir Zerua Aleph Bet Gimel Yitzhak Tzadi Chabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tacharenu No Ufrey Shayan, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivavat Shamrin. Nun Gimodalad, Yud Kafshin. Barhen Taharim, Rachame Sitkatha, Tamim Gamlin, Betet Resh, Dadi Taf Gimel. Chasin Kadosh, Bero Tucha, Nael Adatecha, Ketufet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Ge'e, Amcha Fenei, Zohrei Kishatecha, Yud Gimelamed, Hei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Ta'alumot, Shin Kufav, Zadi Yud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apaim, V'rav Chesed V'emet, Notze Chesed La'alafim, Notze Avon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. For those people who are not used to our methods of teaching, we have approximately 20 minutes of Hebrew that is designed to enhance the metaphysical energy in your life. For those who don't have the time, or those who don't want this energy, God forbid, we suggest that you bypass. We don't suggest it. We know that some people will bypass the 20 minutes and get to the heart of the teachings. We don't recommend this because it's an indication of intellectual pursuit rather than pursuing for the sake of heaven. We are now going to continue to a handout that we have the name of that handout. It's not anywhere that you can find. It is on the website, but you need the name. The name of the handout is yashem.com/year, YEAR, hyphen, analysis, Landing, L-A-N-D-I-N-G, hyphen page, P-A-G-E, dot H-T-M. This is part of our 20 minutes of preparation in our consciousness and preparation in receiving the metaphysical energy. We start with a verse from Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It is from the Parasha of Yitro. It's Pasuk 29. And we start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kutsha barichu ishkinte bichilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu. Le'achda l'shem yudhe bavavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayihino amadunai Elohino aleinu ma'asei yadenu kunenei aleinu ma'asei yadenu kunenehu. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekucha Perichu Koma Diaved Le'ela Wittata Kolaihu Kishot Yovada Dikshot Pele'ilach Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Ledach yaleya mineya ulan haga peya kelana dehakuru ovada digshot inun wikola itzirich bialma. I'm scrolling down to the year 5778. Which has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayichal vayavo Amelech liroto vayomer Amnon El HaMelech Kavo Natamar Achoti Udlabev Le'ene Shete Levivot Vievre Miada. The second verse that connects to the bowing to Hashem energy is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. If you scroll down an additional half an inch, you'll find it. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet, is concealed. The letters of the name are separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha. Va'aloni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale pashai, la'adonai yohe wahe, ve'ata nasata awon chatati serla. Continuing to scroll down, to the year 5777. And this is about halfway down the page. There are two verses that connect to this energy, which is the year of the goats. The first of the two verses we study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters, we are able to create three Hebrew words. Tzatzki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of the Lamentations verse, we're able to create Dir Yam, which translates as the Sea of Tenants. Let us continue to the year 5776. Excuse me, I went too fast. The second verse connecting to the year 5777 is Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name, the year, Tafshin, Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each in this verse. Kim ba Adonai, yo he wahe, Elohechem tadibaku, kasher asitem, ad hayom hazeh. That verse is located approximately a half inch below the previous one. We're continuing to scroll to the year 5776. And that is located about 80% of the way down the page. There are two verses that connect to this energy, which is known as the year of the pause. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat ve-lo yachlu le-ha-shit et kol ha-olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha-levim ad kelot ha-mlacha v'yad yitkachu ha-kohanim. Ki ha-levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe lalahe wa-wa-wa. Yo la yo ala me hey 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 ata ah re ha ha. The second of the two verses connecting to the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai yo he wahe ade ad ki biya. Yo hey Adonai, yo hey wahe, tzur olamim. The year 5775, as the energy of swallowing death forever, there are three verses in this year that connect to this energy. The first of the three that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. And that's about 10% up from the first, from the bottom of the page. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The next verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol ha-machavoyiyam asher yitkapei sham v'shavtem elai el nachon v'halakti yitken v'chaya im yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto v'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegel olanetzach yo, bade row out, yom ruayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse in the Tanakh that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, and it is available at the bottom of the page. Wesam timakom leami leYisrael umtati vishakam kachta velo yirgaz ob velo yosifu bene avla laanoto kaasher barishonam. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. This is a chart that is as the three letters of each name. The letters are color-coded. The white is the right column, the red is the left column, and the green is the central column. The way we make the connection is to say these three letters using their root vowels, one letter at a time. Wahe wayo layo sayo te ala me me he shi la la he aka aka he ta he za yo ala da la awa he he a yo za la me be he he re yo he ko me. La awa ka la yo, la wa wa pe he la, nu la ha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi we, yo fu wa wa he he. Kawako me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta. Me be he pe wa yo, nu me me yo yo la, he re he me za re, wa me be yo he he, a nu wa me he yo, da me be me nu ko, a yo a he be wa, re a he yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. Next, we will connect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim using the same technique. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo ta la me re he, he yo yo he me wu me. La wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he me he he wa. Nu yo he ha he shi ya, yo re ta shi ya he. Re la yo a wa me. La yo be wa he re, yo yo wa la he he, ka a ko me nu da, anu yo he wa me, re he a yo he za, me he shi he me ka ka, wa wa la yo yo he, sa a la a re yo, a la me ta he. Meta he. Why? excuse me. Wahe wa dala yo he yo shi ala me. Nuhe a nuata he me la he te a yo. Nuko me yo re la he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Ga he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Ga re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. We will now connect to the Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 26th day of Shabbat. And on days where we don't have a class in the evenings, like today, Sunday, we will also connect to those Tzaddikim who left tonight and tomorrow, which is the 27th day of Shabbat. Rabbi Shaul ben Rabbi Elazar Brach of Kashau, Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabbi Moshe Yehuda Lieb of Landau, Rabbi Ephraim ben Rabbi Ben Sion Borodiansky, Rabbi Yaakov Landa, Rabbi Yaakov Lando, Rabbi David Halevi Siegel, Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Elazar Lehner, Ben Gershon Hanoch. Those who left on the 27th day, Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Elazar Ben Rabbi Gershon Hanoch Lehner, Rabbi Alexander Sender Ben Rabbi Ephraim Sender Shore, Rabbi Yosef Zundel Huntner, Rabbi Mordechai ben Rabbi Simcha Shmuel Shulman, Rabbi Menachem Nochem ben Aaron Twerskis of Chernobyl, Rabbi Elazar Rokeach, Rabbi Yosef Zundel Hunter, Rabbi Mordechai Shulman, Rabbi David Moshe ben Dovber of Chortkov. In the 8th verse of the Anabatoach, we say in a whisper. Our handout is available on the Unique Astrological Times link. This is under the two pictures that are on the right of every Yeshem webpage. And if you're using a mobile device, it's usually located at the bottom. When you open up the Unique Astrological Times landing page, scroll down to where it says Shabbat Shechalim, which was the Shabbat that we read yesterday in the synagogue, the Torah portion of Ki Tetze, excuse me, Ki Tisa. We read the verses from Shabbat Shechalim. And when you open up that link that's titled Shabbat Shekelim, the donation of a half shekel, or the chatzi shekel to the upkeep of the temple, and learn how to take a census. When you open that link, that is our handout for today. And you will find that there is much more than just that description in today's class. This is actually the beginning of our process for the holidays starting on the 7th of Adar, which is the birth date and the death anniversary of the Hilulah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It starts there and runs through gift of the Torah, which is the holiday of Shavuot. We will discuss all of these holidays, all of these energy days within this purview. Not today, but during this period, we will discuss all of these energies, metaphysical and physical. Shabbat Shekalim. Shabbat Shekalim is one of the four special Shabbatot leading up to the holiday of Pesach. Shabbat Shekalim is the first of the four in a chronological order. It has a special Haftarah and a special Maftir, and also the regular Parashah. This year, that Parashah was Parashah Mishpatim. In other words, in other years, it's a different parashas. It is always read on the Shabbat prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar, or in the leap years prior to Rosh Chodesh Adar Bet. The Maftir is five verses from Exodus chapter 30. They are verses 11 to 16. And here are the verses. I'm only going to read the first verse because it has the energy of all five. It's also a very powerful verse that you will find in my weekly email for the parasha of Truma. Excuse me, the parasha of Mishpatim. Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe lemor. You can read on the handout the other verses. The regular translation of this one verse is, and Hashem spoke unto Moses, saying, I am suggesting that you finish reading this page and then take the link to my commentary about this very usual but unusual verse from the Tanakh. It is unique in that it is constantly being repeated, sometimes as a standalone verse and sometimes as a phrase within a verse. It also sometimes has Aaron added to the verse as well. It is a verse that begs to be analyzed from the Kabbalistic perspective. And I did to do that as an initial start, because there's much more on my weekly handout. When thou takest the sum, I'm continuing to read the English translations of the verses. When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, according to their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto Hashem. When thou numberest them, that there is no plague among them. When thou numberest them, this they shall give every one that passes among them that are numbered, half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerah, half a shekel for an offering to Hashem. Every one that passes among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and upward, shall give the offering of Hashem. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel, when they give the offering of Hashem to make atonement for their your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money from the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before Hashem to make atonement for your souls. What I have just read is the usual translations. Now we're going to look at a different way of translating it. This is coming from me as my opinion. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, if one takes from the heads of the children of Israel a ransom, one must count the ransom for his soul that each man gives to Hashem to ransom his soul, that there not be a plague among them whenever you count them. They shall give, every one that will be connected to the light, a half shekel of the holy shekel. The shekel is 20 gerah, a half shekel for an offering to Hashem. Every clean one connected to the light over the age of 20 will give Hashem's offering. The important one shall not give more, and the lacking one shall not give less than the half shekel. When making Hashem's contribution, which is a request to forgive their nefesh, to forgive their soul, and you shall accept the request for forgiveness, money, from the children of Israel, and use it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a remembrance for the children of Israel before Hashem to request forgiveness for your souls. My commentary. This translation should help you answer the question asked in a previous email I sent a number of years ago. If it will be necessary to continue the half shekel donation after the third temple is revealed, will we still need forgiveness? Here is the shekelim discussion that was enclosed in an email I sent in the Sparasha for the year 5773, the year before we started to do the energy of the year. This Shabbat is the Shabbat before Rosh Chodesh Adar. During temple times on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there would be an announcement, reminder, to donate your half shekel to the temple. This money was to be used as an annual census, as well as used towards the temple maintenance. Today, there is a Kabbalistic minhag, a custom, to donate to your favorite email writer or Kabbalah website the equivalent amount in today's dollars. That is $17, which is the gematria of the year Tov, or the word Tov, which means good. This money was a requirement during temple times to be donated prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the anniversary of the dedication of the first temple. What is the spiritual reason behind this half shekel? There are actually two questions that must be asked in order to understand the spiritual reasons. Question one and its corollary. Why is the amount a half shekel? And why can someone not give more than a half shekel? Or less than a half shekel? Let me answer the second question first. The usual answer given to this question is that we are all equal in the eyes of Hashem. Of course, this is true. He created all of us. Yet there is a deeper understanding than the surface level of these words. Hashem created all of us to reveal his light. Therefore, in the eyes of Hashem, equal means revealing his light. It is not limited to the American understanding of equal being equal under the law. or the limited meaning of equal being equal right to pursue happiness. In the eyes of Hashem, equal means reaching the level where the pursuit of happiness is the effect of happiness. When we reach this level of loving the process, we reach the answer to the other question of why it's a half shekel. A shekel is 20 gerah. Gerah is a root that means to initiate, to stimulate, to encourage, and to provoke in money. A gerah stimulates additional money. This is why in the physical world it is said that money makes money. A gerah is the smallest coin in the money of the Torah. Smallness implies a lessening of the ego, which allows a greater connection to the Creator. A half a shekel is 10 gerah. This 10 represents the level of the 10 sephirot, which are not 10, but a unity of one. A half shekel leads to a full shekel. It is a hinting at if one is leading to another, if one is leading to another one, then there can be unity among the two. And also, a half shekel teaches that we must lead ourselves to help the other half of the shekel. We must realize that we are not alone. There is me, and there is you. Or there is me, and there is Hashem. Since each person is a channel and a tool of Hashem, except for myself. My ego of being a half a shekel keeps me from being unified with Hashem. Of course, then I unify with another by sharing. I become unified with them, which makes me unified with Hashem. This is the idea of unity within diversity. In 5774, I added an additional teaching. A question that also needs to be added from the reading of the Maftir is what is the meaning of a shekel hakodesh, a holy shekel? To answer this question, we need to truly understand the concept of money. And I think you'll find this discussion very interesting. The meaning of money. We all know that many people find money an item that they worship, as in Avodah Zarah, as in idol worship. In that sense, it is not a good thing. People make money the item of pursuit. They desire money for its own sake, not for what they can do with it in the form of sharing. King Shlomo, King Solomon, said, "And money answers everything. Since it does not seem to buy happiness or enjoyment, we must ask what King Solomon means." In Hebrew, money is kesef, spelled kaf samach, pei sofit. Kesef, the Talmud tells us, is a coin system. Today it includes banknotes and wire transfers as well. This coin system is a medium of exchange created by a government and supported by the people. If the kesef loses the support of the people, we get a new government. This has happened many times in history. The coin called a holy shekel is created by Hashem and will never lose the support of the people. Actually, the money in the Torah is indexed to silver. Today, a holy shekel has the value of 8 grams of silver. Below, we will see the relationship from kesef to silver, or from silver to kesef. Historically, money includes silver coins alongside gold coins. The Talmud discusses the exchange of money for goods. In that discussion, the Aramaic terms used for currency, for money, tabia, and goods, pira. Literally, the word for goods is the word for fruit. The Talmud asks the question, when one exchanges a gold coins for silver coins, or vice versa, which is the money and which are the goods? The answer is gold is goods and silver is money. On a physical level, this is why the shekel is made from silver. As King Solomon said, money answers everything. This is the concept of trade, where a monetary value is put on everything. Therefore, a medium of exchange is created. If someone wants something and is willing to pay for it at the number of coins, a market is created. It is interesting to note that in Gematria, the word for coin plus the word for fruit is equal to the word for chaos. This is my opinion. This, in my opinion, is the meaning of King Solomon. Money answers everything, going round and round to create chaos. Kabbalah teaches that silver is chesed, or loving kindness, while gold is givurah, or judgment. Unwritten commentary is this comes from the color of the two metals. A spiritual person has a desire for loving kindness over judgment. We are taught that this is true for a spiritual person. This is the spiritual reason for kesef to be made from silver, since the desire for loving kindness is money, while the desire for physical goods brings us to judgment. Of course, a human soul cannot be bought, yet Hashem in His mercy allows us to atone with a half shekel of silver. This half shekel, being 10 gerah, represents the creation of a complete structure of loving kindness, chesed with 10 levels, or sefirot. This is why we continue to donate the half shekel even while the temple appears to be destroyed. This donation connects us to the loving kindness of Hashem, since Hashem is perfect and His nature is loving kindness, or sharing. In practice, the Ashkenazim follow the practice of mourning for the temple and do not avail themselves of this mitzvah. The Sephardim do donate the half shekel. The present value of a half shekel, 8 grams of silver, is approaching $22. Yet in the interest of a merchant, we discount this to $17. The handout says $15. So as to entice some people to donate their tzedakah to this practice and help themselves. It is the common practice to make this donation prior to Purim. Of course, it can be made any time prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. If you are reading this after Purim and before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we at Yeshem will still do this. We will do this ritual of raising 5 silver coins, one for each world, from Malchut to Keter 5 times. The result is we are connecting or reconnecting the soul of the person to Hashem. Please, for your own sake, consider doing this ritual or allowing Hashem to do so by making the discounted tzedakah of $17 per person. Just send the person's name and his parents' name. And the rest of that paragraph has my address of where to send the names of people that you want to make this donation for. You can do this by email at yeshem.com. You can do this by telephone if you are willing to allow me to charge your debit or credit card. For those people who have done this with me previously in previous years, I will be sending you an email to remind you the names that you have given me and to ask you to consider doing this again for your own sakes. This truly is for your own sakes. Continuing to read. The donation to the temple allows me to become unified with Hashem, because the effect of these donations improve the physical structure of the temple. When the third temple is revealed, will the half shekel donation still be required? Earlier, I indicated that this is something you have to answer for yourself. But I will give you a hint. The third temple will come from heaven. There may be animal sacrifices. They may not be. Will the connection to the temple be sufficient to connect you to Hashem? Animal sacrifices, plant sacrifices, have a different purpose than the half shekel. This is my hint. I have asked the question in earlier emails, how does the half shekel relate to both Purim and Nisan? And by the way, I will be doing the half shekel donation twice. Once on the night of the Purim reading of the Megillah Esther, and once on Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Continuing to read. The reason appears to be separate, but is really the same reason. Nisan is the new year of the kings. For most people, this means that they started to count the years of the reign of a king on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This relates to someone being elevated to being king in Israel in the month of Adar. The king would start his second year on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, even if he had not completed a full 12 months in his first year. This is one of the reasons that the historical classification and calculation of years is so complex. This is how the half shekel relates to Nisan. Now see how it relates to Purim. In the Megillah Esther, the revelation of the concealed Haman paid 10,000 golden shekels in order for his plan to kill all the Jews, to be approved by King Ahasuerus. Later, the Megillah hints that Mordechai found it necessary to bribe the king to send out the protection plan. The Midrash teaches that this payment was made from the half shekels that the Sephardic community made then and still make today. Also, the Midrash explains that the mistake that the Jews made that caused Haman's plan to be accepted in the upper worlds and thus authorized in this world was going to the 6 months of partying where Ahasuerus took out his spoils of war, the clothing of the high priest, the utensils from the temple, and other items from the temple, like the menorah and the table. By not objecting to these displays, they incurred the death penalty. And by using the half shekel donation, they atoned for their mistake and returned to Hashem. The Haftorah discussion. The Haftorah is Kings, 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17 to chapter 12, verse 17. I will mention to you so that it reinforces earlier information. The book of Kings in the Hebrew Bible is only one book, not two. The monks, when they were classifying the Old Testament, split the book of Kings into two parts. One part being for King David, and then actually, I think it's King David and King Solomon. And the second part is for the balance of the kings. There were 30 kings between the two countries, the country of Judah and the country of Israel. Each of them had 15 kings. So with King David and King Solomon becomes 32. But these numbers, I did not verify myself, so I could be off slightly. The Zohar in the Parasha of Bereshit, in Bereshit A, section 40, waters conceive and give birth to darkness. I'm going to skip the Aramaic just because of time. If you want the energy, I suggest you read or scan it. The translation. Rabbi Yossi said, the tip of the scale stands in the middle. Its portent may be found in the verse, in weight or in measure, from the Parashav or the book of Vayikra, in which in weight, the Hebrew word mishkal means that the tongue of the scales is in the middle, because the scales are just. This is the secret of what is written. After the shekel of the sanctuary, and the scales that weigh the muhin are set upon the point in the middle. He asked, what are the scales by which, as you say, the mochin are weighed? The word mochin is translated typically as brains, but obviously it's more than that. He asks, what are the scales by which, as you say, the mochin are weighed? And he answers, that justice is weighed by them, and all mochin are established by this weight, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Rabbi Yehuda said that the phrase, after the shekel of the sanctuary, literally the holy shekel, is an allusion to the spirit of holiness. I'm going to point out something that just occurred to me that I don't have the exact information on. But if someone is interested, feel free to verify it. The physical brain of Albert Einstein weighed approximately 2.2 pounds. the same as the majority of human beings. Everyone was stunned that he did not have such a larger brain. Did he have a more efficient brain? Did he have a better brain? That's a question I'll leave for you to ask and decide for yourselves. But physically, his brain was normal human being. Now, can you relate the weight of the shekel? 8 ounces of silver, which is 16 ounces of silver, is that about the size of a human brain? Or is it the size of the one lobe of the brain? Just a suggestion, just a thought that occurred to me. Continuing to read with my commentary on this verse from the Zohar. The verse hints to the half shekel offering, since this offering has the purpose of redeeming the soul to create holiness. The offering is the half shekel, which is a hint to us to realize that we are never alone. Hashem is always with us. Also, that we need other people to learn to help in our spiritual tikkun. We also learn from the half shekel that redemption of our souls depends on others to inject the consciousness of holiness. To bless or not to bless, that is the question. A remarkable thing happened on the way to the temple. With the imminent restoration of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of giving a holy half shekel, the question arises, what blessing do you say when you give the half shekel? We asked high and low and found that no one knew. We set out to find the answer, and several weeks ago were rewarded with the teachings of the Rashba, a 13th century sage, which informed us that indeed there is no blessing recited. Okay, we said, although I had personally felt there should be a blessing, as it is the fulfillment of a Torah mitzvah in and of itself. So we posted our findings and announced that no blessing is recited, and we did not stop searching. We went back another 100 years, and what do we find? Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar, in the 12th century, not only teaches that we do make a blessing, he brings down its text. And may we all say amen and thank Hashem. Now the good stuff starts. We will have to extract a pesak din, a halakhic ruling from today's rabbanim, informing us of which opinion is the accepted one. Do we make a blessing or not? Perhaps prior to the rebuilding of the temple, we don't, and once it stands, we do. Or perhaps the fulfillment of the mitzvah is a fully carried out in its giving, thereby allowing for a blessing even prior to the rebuilding of the temple. We have not heard a decision by the Sanhedrin, which right now is being formed and beginning in the modern state of Israel, although it is very politically oriented, which is why we have so much of the divisiveness associated with politics in the rest of the world these days. When the Jews are in disarray, when the Jews are divided, the world is divided. My commentary, continuing to read. Whenever there is a machloket, an argument for the sake of heaven, the halakha is to not say the blessing. And that is what we do now in the Kabbalistic minhag. Here are some teachings regarding the blessing for the half sekel, what to say and what not to say. The Rashba says we don't. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yakar says we do, as we reported above. Chacham Tzvi, for Trumat Chalishka, we do. Sefer Zichron Eliezer, we don't. Sefer Shem Mishimon, we don't. Which do you do? I've given you the present circumstances, the halakha from the Kabbalists. We don't. But those who feel that they are connected to Mashiach consciousness may want to start. Information on the term Machashit HaShekel. And we are still going to stop the class here. No, I'm going to go, we're out of time, but if I'm going to continue this recording and this teaching and finish this handout. Information on the term Machashit HaShekel. The Hebrew name for the half shekel is Machashit HaShekel. And there is the Hebrew spelling. Machatzit is from half, HaShekel, the shekel. When we permute the word Machashit, we get a middle letter, Tzadi, which balances the name of Hashem, Yud-Heh, from the word Met, which means death. This allows us to translate the word as the Tzadik stands between life and death. The word shekel can be translated as passion of the light. What we learn from this discussion is that by giving the Machashit HaShekel, we bring the passion of the light to assist the tzaddik to stand against death and to promote life. This is why it is important to make the half shekel offering. Can the half shekel offering be given when the temple is destroyed? This is a response from Harav Yisrael Ariel, the Temple Institute in Jerusalem. Question, I would appreciate you replying to my question. Can the mitzvah of Machashit HaShekel be fulfilled with Torah validity at the present time? The response. It is widely known that after the destruction of the first temple, the children of Israel, the Jews, returned from Babylonia. Upon reaching the country, they rebuilt the altar and offered sacrifices up on it for 22 years. Before the temple was rebuilt, the question arises, how did the Babylonian returnees contribute the Machatzit HaShekel, and how did they bring sacrifices for the altar? For the second temple had not yet been rebuilt, and the mitzvah of Shekalim can only be fulfilled in the presence of the temple. However, halakha rules, without dispute, that sacrifices are offered up even when the temple itself is in ruins. As Rabbi Yehoshua is quoted in Tractate Idiot, I heard that sacrifices are offered up through the even though there is no temple. And as Maimonides adduces in his Hilchot Bet HaBeshira, in light of this halakha, it can be understood why Second Temple officials collected machatzit ha-shekel from the returnees as they arrived, rebuilt an altar, and offered sacrifices up on it. For the offering up of sacrifices is not conditional upon the temple itself being rebuilt. Regarding the Mishnah, which states that the mitzvot of machatzit ha-shekel applies in the presence of the temple, the Mishnah is indicating a period of time when the commandment of machatzit ha-shekel applies only in the temple period, when preparations are being made to rebuild the temple. Machatzit ha-shekel is collected, though the temple itself is as yet in ruins, while at the same time initial steps are taken for the rebuilding of the altar, for the offering up of sacrifice, and for the reconstruction of the temple buildings. The obligation to donate machatzit ha-shekel, even before the rebuilding of the temple has begun, derives from the Torah source of the mitzvot of machatzit ha-shekel. This they shall give, half a shekel, measured in the holy shekels, and to give the money of atonement. And you shall give it for the worship of the Ohel Moed. The money is needed for the purpose of erecting the sanctuary and its ritual. In other words, the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel is a preliminary step before the sanctuary is erected. The Talmud Yerushalmi, as opposed to the Babylonian Talmud, states, regarding the machatzit ha-shekel, three contributions are mentioned in this context, in Truma and in Kitisa, the contribution of the sanctuary for the sanctuary can be of any amount found suitable. The contribution of shekelim, that the sacrifices can be of any amount found suitable, and the contribution of the foundations for the foundations, the rich may bring no more and the poor no less. The three contributions in the verse are the basis and the infrastructure for building the sanctuary and for the offering up of the sacrifices, without which there would be neither sanctuary nor altar worship. At any rate, even at the present time, the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel precedes the rebuilding of the temple. And just as in the days of the sanctuary and in the early days of the second temple period, the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel served to initiate the construction of the temple. So should it be with the building of the third temple. May it be built speedily in our days. The first step should be the fulfilling of the mitzvah of machatzit ha-shekel. When the time comes, God willing, the appropriate agency will announce the collection of machatzit ha-shekel. The altar will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount, and the Kohanim will begin to offer up sacrifices. While the worship is in progress, the builders will complete the construction of the temple upon its foundations, just as the people of the Second Temple era succeeded in doing. What you have just read is material that I have sourced, that I've read from online sources. If you want to know the specifics, please give me a call or send me an email requesting the source themselves. The half shekel and marriage. The first marriage of which we read in the Torah is the marriage of Adam and Eve. Theirs, of course, was a marriage wholly made in heaven. Hashem himself created the bride, perfumed and bejeweled her, and presented her to the groom. the first instance in which the Torah tells the story of a marriage achieved by human effort is in the chapter that describes the search for the bride for Isaac. Here are detailed the workings of a conventional shiruch, a matchmaker, which was Eliezer, Abraham's servant. An investigation into the prospective bride's family and character, a dowry, the initial encounter between the bride and the groom, and so forth. The Torah, which often conveys complex laws by means of a single word or letter, devotes no less than 67 verses to the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Many of the details are related twice, first in the Torah's account of their occurrence, and a second time in Eliezer's speech to Rebekah's parents. For here we are being presented with a prototype to guide our own approach to marriage, both in the conventional sense, as the union of two human beings, and in the cosmic sense, as the relationship between Hashem and man. Half of 20. One of the details which the Torah includes in its account is the fact that a ring, a half shekel in weight, was one of the gifts that Eliezer presented to Rebekah at their meeting at the well in Rebekah's hometown of Aram Naharaim. The man took a golden ring, a half shekel in weight, and two bracelets of 10 shekels weight of gold for her hands. Our sages explain that this was a hint to in the forerunner of the half shekel contributed by each Jew towards the building of the sanctuary, as God instructs Moses in the 30th chapter of Exodus. Each man shall give the ransom of his soul to Hashem. This they shall give half shekel. A shekel is 20 gerah, half shekel is 10. And it shall be given as an offering to Hashem. The rich man shall give more, and the pauper should not give less than the half shekel. Why a half shekel? Maimonides writes that as a rule, everything that is for the sake of Hashem should be for the best and the most beautiful. When one builds a house of prayer, it should be more beautiful than his own dwelling. When one feeds the hungry, he should feed him of the best and the sweetest of his table. Whenever one designates something for a holy purpose, he should sanctify the finest of his possessions, as it is written, the choicest to God. Indeed, in many cases, Torah law mandates that the object of a mitzvah be tamim, whole. A blemished animal cannot be brought as an offering to Hashem, nor can a blemished etrog be included in the four species taken on the festival of Sukkot. Even when this is not an absolute requirement, the law states that whenever possible, one should strive to fulfill a mitzvah with a whole object. For example, it is preferable to recite a blessing on a whole fruit or a whole loaf of bread rather than a slice. This is why we use whole loaves on Shabbat and holidays. Why then does the Torah instruct that each Jew contribute half a shekel towards the building of a dwelling for Hashem within the Israelite camp? The Torah's repeated reference to this contribution as a half shekel is all the more puzzling in light of the fact that these very same verses the Torah finds it necessary to clarify that a shekel consists of 20 gerah. In other words, the amount contributed by each Jew as the ransom for his soul was 10 gerah. 10 is a number that connotes completeness and perfection. The entire Torah is encapsulated within the Esser Dibrot. The world was created with 10 divine utterances. Hashem relates to his creation via 10 Sefirot. And the soul of man, formed in the image of Hashem, is likewise comprised of 10 powers. But instead of instructing to give 10 gerah, the Torah says to give half of 20, to give half a shekel, deliberately avoiding mentioning the number 10 and emphasizing the half. Separated at birth. For such is the essence of marriage. If each partner approached the marriage with a sense of his or herself as a complete entity, they will at best achieve only a relationship between two distinct self-contained lives. But marriage is much more than that. The Kabbalists explain that husband and wife are the male and female aspects of a single, unified soul, born into two different bodies. For many years, they live separate lives, often at great distance from each other, and wholly unaware of the other's existence on the physical level. But divine providence contrives to bring them together, again under the wedding chuppah, and accord them the opportunity to become one again. Not only one in essence, but also one on all levels, in their conscious thoughts and feelings, and in their physical lives. Marriage is thus more than the union of two individuals. It is the union of a half-soul, the fusion of two lives originally and intrinsically one. To experience this union, each must approach his or her life together, not as a 10, but as a half. This half shekel consists of 10 gerah. Each must give their all to the marriage, devoting to it the full array of resources and potentials they possess. But each must regard him or herself not as a complete being, but as a partner, a part seeking its other part to make it whole again. The sanctuary. The half shekel ring given to Rebekah for her marriage to Isaac was the forerunner of the half shekel contributed by each individual child of Israel, each Jew, towards the building of the sanctuary. The marital home in the marriage is between Hashem and man. The soul of man is a part of Hashem above, a part that descended to a world whose mundanity and materiality conspire to distance it from the supernal source. So even a soul who is in full possession of her 10 powers is still but a part. And even when Hashem fully manifests the 10 attributes of his involvement with his creation, he is still only partly present in our world. It is only when these two parts unite in marriage that their original wholeness and integrity is restored. So to build Hashem a home on earth, we must contribute half of a 20 gerah shekel. We must give ourselves fully to him, devoting the full spectrum of our 10 powers and potentials to our marriage with him. But even as we achieve the utmost in self-realization in our relationship with Hashem, we must be permeated with a sense of our halfness, with the recognition and appreciation that we, as he, are incomplete without each other. This discussion has been about donating a half shekel. What is not said in this discussion is who do you donate the half shekel to? The answers from the Temple Institute that I've quoted here has an agenda. They are trying to create the temple. The prophecies say our actions will create the temple. Their agenda is to receive those donations as their charity. Are they a truly poor person? Is a question that must be asked to know that you are giving tzedakah and not contribution, not truma. If you don't understand these terms, I recommend that you read our basic class on charity. I believe it is basic class number 7. Who is a truly poor person? Someone who knows that Hashem will provide. Doesn't matter to him who Hashem chooses to be the channel for that providing. I can honestly say that Hashem is a truly poor person based on that definition. Now, that is the giving of the half shekel, which this year is $17. This year will be made available twice, as we referenced with respect to the Torah telling us about Eliezer and his gifts to Rebekah. I would also recommend that people, when they bring their names, when they bring the names of the person that is, they're asking us to make the donation in favor of, for, that they also indicate if they want this donation to be made for the purposes of a shidduch, for a marriage, or for the creation of another entity, a corporation, if they're starting or want to continue a business, or any other specific purpose. For those additional items, and I want to be clear, there needs to be a separation between the half shekel donation, which is to redeem your soul, and for these other purposes, which would be on the order of contribution, on truma, not tzedakah. Give additional amounts for these purposes. This opportunity, this action that is taken of raising the 5 silver coins 5 times each with the consciousness of the soul of that person is light as light. Light is not for a specific purpose. A color of light can be for a specific purpose. That's why when you take a prism and you shine a white light into it, out comes 7 different colors. Feel free to add to the amount for various specific purposes. This action that is done during this period can be utilized to help all of these other areas of your life. This is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Our class is this afternoon at 3 p.m. West Coast time. We continue our study of advanced reincarnation. And I recommend to you all that if you haven't started these classes, feel free to start now. We're only about 25% through them. And we will take the time to explain what we're saying and give you that time to catch up. The class is tomorrow. One was at 4:30 p.m. will be a deep Zohar study of the Parasha of Noach. We are presently in section 26. And our class at 7 p.m. will continue our teachings from Rabbi Ashlar. I remind you that Rosh Chodesh is Thursday and Friday. Rosh Chodesh Adar and our connection will be at 7 p.m. Thursday evening. And if you ever have a question on any subject of Torah, every week we have a questions and answers session on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. I invite you all to send your questions by email, by text. I prefer to receive them during the day on Wednesday, but that is all up to you. If you need to ask me at a different time, go ahead. Shalom to all. Have a beautiful week. Does anyone have any other questions? Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.